Jesus, the God, invites us here to his triumphal feast.
Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
He says, all right, Moses, you've got this rod. What's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, cast it down on the ground. What does it do? It becomes a snake. What does Moses do? Ah! He screams and runs away from it. Where's the courage of this man? God said, I'm going to make you Superman, and he's running from a stick.
Last time on Triumphal Feast, we learned how Abraham jumped in the race and was all in for the Lord from the very beginning. This time, we will look at Moses. He was used by the Lord in a mighty way, but he had a dramatically different start.
Turn with me now over to Exodus chapter 2, the last few verses. That's the second book in your Bible there. Exodus chapter 2. I want to catch the last three verses, and I'm going to move this story along a little bit because we're going to talk about Moses. Now, let me remind you. I said I was going to talk about two mighty men, two children of God, two men that were all in for the Lord. Two men that God did mighty and wondrous things by their hand. But let's look at how Moses started out. How did Moses begin his life of being all in for the Lord? Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. That covenant was the promise that he gave to Abraham that they would get Canaan's land. Right now, they're down in Egypt. Remember, Joseph got sold into slavery. They're down there. They're in the land of Goshen. A Pharaoh comes up that doesn't know who Joseph is and puts them all in bondage. And they cry out unto the Lord, and the Lord hears their cries. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. All right, now, Jethro is Moses' father-in-law. He's a priest of Midian. This is a good priest. Okay? This is somebody that's following Jehovah, following the Lord God. Moses is tending his flock, Jethro's flock. And as he's doing this, he sees this bush that's on fire, but the bush is not being burnt up. You know, if you set something on fire, eventually it's going to run out of fuel and the fire's going to go away. But he sees this bush, and it's burning up, and it's not going away. He says, man, this is kind of neat. So he leaves the flock, and I'm going to walk around this bush. I'm going to investigate this. Moses is curious as to what he is seeing here. Then notice what happens next. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Okay, Moses has found why this bush is burning and not being consumed. Do you think Moses has any doubt as to who he's talking to? No. The Lord says his name, and says, Moses, take off your shoes. You need to be here barefoot because you're on holy ground. God himself is speaking to Moses out of this bush. There's no doubt in Moses' mind. Going on now. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has even come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children, out of Egypt. Man, look at that call. There's no doubt in Moses' mind who he's talking to. And God has said, Moses, I have heard the cry of your brethren, my people, and I am come to deliver them. And oh yeah, Moses, you get to be the superhero. You get to be the guy that goes down there, stands up to Pharaoh, and delivers my people. Man, look at this call. Moses knew who this God was, because his father-in-law had been a priest. He's been worshiping this God all along. Abraham wasn't given a whole lot of information. Just leave everything that you're used to, Abraham, and go. Moses is given a lot of information. Moses, this is who I am. Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. And Moses, you're going to be a hero. What would you say? Man, I'd say, let's go. This is God's idea, and I get to be the king of it? Man, I'd say, let's go. But what does Moses say? Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God says, this is what I'm going to do using you. And Moses basically says, no, wait a minute. Well, you know, I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at. I know I don't own anything. And I know I'm taking care of somebody else's sheep. But I'm comfortable with it. And nobody really knows who I am. And I'm just fine with that. God says, Moses, this is what I want you to do. This is how I'm going to use you. And Moses hesitates. Okay, very often in our lives, when the Lord has called us to do something different, we think, oh, I'm awfully comfortable here. It may not be the best thing, but it's what I understand and it's what I know. And that's how Moses reacts. The Lord says, I'm going to do great things with you. Man, you're going to be Superman. And he said, no, I'd rather be poor, take care of somebody else's sheep, just stay out here in the desert. I'm doing just fine, Lord. It'll be okay. You go on. Verse 12. And he said, certainly, this is God talking again, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know, I was sitting down getting ready to go to sleep last night, and I noticed something for the first time in that verse. Moses says, Lord, I'm comfortable here at home. I kind of like here. And I don't want to make the show. So the Lord says, okay, Moses, you're not going alone. I'm going to be with you. And not only that, I'm going to make it. Here's the sign to you. Moses, when you bring them out, you're going to come right back here to this mountain, back to your home and worship. Did Abraham get that opportunity? No. God says, here, Moses, I'm going to be so merciful to you. If you like home this much, all right. The first place that you are going to go when I get you out is right back here. Man, that'd be the icing on the cake, wouldn't it? Man, if I could just worship the Elder Mike Ivey said that if anybody ever decides that they're supposed to be a church in Hawaii, he already has the call to pastor it.
You know, because it's beautiful. I've never been there, but he enjoyed it there. But that's the mindset that we have. Well, if it's at a place that I like to already be, then it's even better. Verse 13. How does Moses react? And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? He's starting to doubt again. Hasn't God already told him who he is? God has already said, I'm the God of thy fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Moses knows who he is. He's hesitating again. He's heard the starting pistol go off, and he said, No, I'm not so sure about this. Yeah, I know you said you're going to be with me, and yeah, I get to come back home and bring these millions of people with me. But, you know, Lord, that's just not enough. Wow. It's almost arrogant, isn't it? Standing up to this call of the Lord. Notice how God reacts. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. In your Bible, that should be in all caps. I am the existing one, Jehovah. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. God repeats himself. Didn't he already say this? Look at the mercy that God has here. He just said, Moses, I'm going to make you Superman. Moses hesitates and questions. But look at the mercy of this Almighty God to repeat himself. Moses, I already told you who I am. I want you to tell them who I am. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Have we heard those words before? God repeats the whole thing to him. Anybody ever raised a kid or taught a kid? And you have to say the same thing over and over and over again. And by gritting your teeth, trying to... Okay. I'm sure your mom probably did it to y'all too. Look at the mercy of God, though. This is not a fallen human being. This is the God of all glory being patient with somebody hesitating and doubting. And they shall hearken to thy voice. I want you to remember that. God tells Moses right here, you're going to speak and they are going to listen. Now, a little bit back in history, why is the reason he's out there in the desert? Because Moses at once felt this call to lead the children of Israel, but God hadn't called him to do it yet. And he saw an Egyptian smite one of his fellow Israelites. What did he do? He killed a guy and buried him in the sand. And what did the children of Israel say to him? Man, you've made it horrible on us. And they wanted him out. So he's got a little bit of a reason to fear these folks because they didn't want him around, even though he was doing something to deliver them. And so God reassures them, they're going to listen to you. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. He's saying that, but listen to everything that he says. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. He's saying, Moses, this is going to work. The people are going to listen to you. Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. And so I'm going to bring these curses down upon him, but they are going to let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Now notice what he says. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. He said, all right, Moses, you're going to be the hero of a battle that you don't even have to fight. And he said, when you bring the children of Israel out, who are right now poor and in bondage, they're slaves and they have nothing, they're going to leave with the spoils of war. The riches of Egypt are going to be in their hands and on their backs and in chests of gold. You're going to march out with the best things of Egypt. What would you say? Yeah, let's go. Honestly, when it's hard for us to get up in the morning, are we set to go? All right, now let's look at Moses' answer. Exodus chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. God has just said, they will believe you. Moses says, they're not going to believe me. Moses calls God a liar. This is a great man. This is a child of God. This is somebody that's going to be all in for the Lord, that the Lord is going to use in a mighty way. And right here he says, no, Lord, you're lying to me. I don't believe you. I know you're standing there. I believe in you. But I don't believe you. I don't believe your words. He contradicts him. So for the sake of time, I'm going to summarize the next few verses. The Lord says, all right, Moses, man, look at the patience of the Lord here. If you were the Lord, what would you have done to Moses about right now? All right, dude. Okay, you're gone. I know that's what I would have done. He says, all right, Moses, you've got this rod. What's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, cast it down on the ground. What does it do? It becomes a snake. What does Moses do? He screams and runs away from it. Where's the courage of this man? God said, I'm going to make you Superman, and he's running from a stick. He says, I've given you that sign, Moses. When they don't believe that you spoke to me, throw your stick down, and it's going to become a snake, and they're going to believe you. And if they don't believe that one, he said, take your hand, put it inside your coat. Took his hand, put it in. This is the one time Moses obeys him. Okay? Puts his hand inside his coat, pulls it out, and it's full of leprosy. Okay? His hand, basically what that means, kids, is a disease where the skin turns white and falls off the bone. Okay? Then he says, okay, put it back in your coat. Puts it back in his coat, pull it back out. He obeys God on this one, the simple stuff. And it's perfectly new. He said, if they don't believe the sign of the stick, turn it into a serpent, do this. And he said, if they don't believe that you talked to me on this one, he said, I want you to take a vessel of water, put it in the river, pour that water out on ground, and it's going to become blood. Man, so Moses, I've given you valid. By the way, isn't a burning bush enough evidence? I mean, golly, you got a bush burning, and he has time to inspect that it's not being burned up, and Moses is still asking for more signs. Verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. He hesitates again. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, he doesn't just say, I don't speak well in public. He says, heretofore and now. What he's saying is, Lord, before I met you, I couldn't talk well, and you haven't changed it a bit since I met you. Isn't that what he says? He blames the Lord for his inability to be an eloquent man. Ha! Don't blame the Lord. If the Lord tells you to sing, what are you supposed to do? Well, my voice doesn't sound that good. Lord, you didn't bless me with a good one. Huh? Really? God's going to make this guy Superman. and he complains that he can't speak well in public. Again, what would you do if you were the Lord? So God says in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." He said, "Moses, I'm going to heal you. You're going to be Zig Ziglar. Okay? You're going to be a public speaker like nobody else has ever seen." Verse 13. "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." That sounds a little bit confusing, but here's basically what he said. Is there anybody else? Every complaint that Moses has had, the Lord solves for him immediately. And he says, well, isn't there anybody else who can go? Basically what he is saying, you have promised a Messiah. Can't you just send him? Lord, can't you do the work yourself? Isn't that often what we think? Lord, can't you handle that? Well, yeah, he can. But perhaps he has chosen to use you to do something mighty. Man, if this was me, I'd have squished him. But look at the mercy of God. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Here comes lightning bolts and fire from heaven. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of a God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." He said, "All right, Moses." He's mad, but he still shows mercy. He said, "Okay, here's Aaron. Aaron is going to be the one that talks." So when you see the Ten Commandments, the movie, and it has Moses doing all the talking, that's wrong. Aaron does all of the talking. But look at the mercy of God here that he has toward Moses. He says, "Moses, he's going to be your mouth," which means instead of you having to speak, he's going to speak for you. "But Moses, I'm going to keep talking to you. And you're going to be God to him." Meaning, you're going to tell him what to say. He didn't kick Moses out of the loop. Look how patient the Lord is with this great man. Look how patient he is with us and our lives. That we are to be all in for the Lord, and he gives us multiple opportunities to be all in. Now let me ask you this. Which way was easier? Moses had a lot of information and was told he was going to be a superhero, and he hesitates and he waits. By the way, if you look up the word hesitate, a synonym is disinclined. Okay? That's not a word we hear much, but if you watch the Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain Barbossa says, "I'm disinclined to acquiesce to your request." Then what does he say right after that? Means no. Moses was saying no. Who believed God and showed courage? Abraham or Moses? Abraham chose the better way to start. To be all in for the Lord means nothing comes before the Lord. Moses is told to go. Abraham is told to leave basically everything. Moses gets to come back. Moses has taken his whole family with him. Abraham is called to do something far more difficult. Say, well, it's awfully hard to leave family. Don't deny that. But if you look at the call of the disciples, of Andrew, James, and John, and Matthew, it says that they were working at something. They're doing their livelihood. The Lord Jesus called them. It says they dropped their nets and they went. They left their livelihood. At one time, Jesus calls some folks to follow him, and a man says, "Let me go bury my father." What does Jesus say? "Let the dead bury their dead." He said, "Man, nothing comes before me." That man was looking for an excuse to not start yet, is basically what was happening. Well, I like my friends. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says, evil communications corrupt good manners. If your friends are not following the Lord, you are not going to be all in. They will corrupt your mind. They will corrupt your speech. They will mess up your walk. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us how to start this race. Seek the Lord early while He may be what? Found. There's an urgency to this call. Peter says in Mark chapter 10, Lord, we've left all. And the Lord says, nobody has left a father or mother or lands or houses that hasn't gained a multitude. My children have parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles all over this country. We were blessed for a period of a little over a week to go all the way to North Carolina and back and never pay a single charge for a hotel room. Didn't pay for very many meals. That's a tremendous blessing of being in fellowship with the Lord's people. The things that we worry about the most, how am I going to take care of my family? If you're following the Lord's people, say, hey, come on over here and have dinner with us. If you need a place to sleep tonight, here, sleep here. Tremendous, tremendous blessing. So here's my charge to you. Step one in being all in with the Lord is what? Go. Remember when I stood down here about 7.5 years ago and I said I wanted to be your pastor? And y'all said amen. What was my next question? Is that amen and sit on your hands or amen and let's go? Okay? I'm not preaching anything new. It's the same message I've always had. Okay, I'm telling you to step out on faith like Abraham did. Abraham didn't know where he was going, didn't know where he was going to end up, but he knew he was going to be with the Lord. And it's not a blind leap of faith. That phrase is not in the Bible. Abraham and Moses both knew who they were trusting. And we know more than they know. We know the name of our Savior. We know the name of our Redeemer. And our Redeemer has said to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look at the way it's put in this song. And Madison chose this earlier today, and it just was a confirmation that I had the right thing on my mind. He will never, never leave me nor yet forsake me here while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna, He, my hungry soul, shall fill. That songwriter knew what it was to be all in for the Lord and to trust Him for everything. It is God, the Lord, that has called you. And He has said, I'm always going to be there. And He's merciful. Look how merciful He was to Moses. You say, well, in the past, I haven't done this. Paul said, forget those things which are behind. Look forward. Paul in the Hebrew letter says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, keep your eyes on the Lord, and He will instruct you and give you enough along the way. He'll give you more than enough. He will bless you abundantly, more than you could ever ask for, till your cup overflows. What's that old poem that I'm drinking from my saucer? Because my cup is overflowed. That's how the Lord is with His people. He delights in doing that with you. Be all in for the Lord. The race. Run it with patience. And by the way, if you're waiting for the starting pistol, it's already sounded. It sounds every morning to remind you, get up, go. Be eager. Do you like to be around happy people? I like to be around happy people. Do you like people to be around you that are happy? Well, then meet them happy. If they're not happy, be contagious. My middle school choir room has a sign over the door, and I'll close with this. Attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching? May we have the attitude of being all in, running our race with patience, with a joy set before us, knowing that it is Jesus Christ who has called us into His service. May the Lord bless us, is my prayer.
Victorious God, what can we pray for?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. Living a life all in for the Lord does not mean that we will always do the right things. but a good start helps us to have courage and greater fellowship with God. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.